Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, a guest that's going to read a story. I hope you'll have fun listening to it.
Hello, my name is Cindy Reapy. I have 4 grandchildren. I'll be reading some short stories for you. Arthur's Teacher Trouble by Mark Brown. The bell rang. The first day of school was over. Kids ran out of every classroom. Everyone but room 13. Here, the students left slowly, in single file. "See you tomorrow," said their teacher, Mr. Ratburn. "I can't believe he gave us homework the first day," said Arthur. "I had the rat last year," said Prunella. "Boy, do I feel sorry for you." "Make one wrong move," warned Binky Barnes, "and he puts you on death row." "He's really a vampire with magical powers," said Chris. As everyone was leaving, the principal came out of his office. "Are you ready for the September spellathon?" he asked. "Yes," cheered the crowd. "Who's going to win this year?" asked the principal. "Me," everyone shouted. "If I win again this year, do I get my name on the trophy twice?" asked Prunella. "Not if I can help it," whispered Francine. When Arthur got home, he slammed the back door. "How was school?" Mother asked. "I got the strictest teacher in the whole world," grumbled Arthur. "Have a chocolate chip cookie," said Mother. "Don't have time," said Arthur. "I have tons of homework." "I'll eat Arthur's," said D.W. "I don't have any homework." "You don't even go to school," said Arthur. "I know," D.W. smiled. After dinner, Arthur was still doing homework. "What's that?" asked D.W. "It's a map of Africa," said Arthur. "Looks like a pepperoni pizza," said D.W. "Next year, when I'm in kindergarten, I won't have any homework. Miss Meeker never gives it." "Mom," called Arthur, "D.W.'s being a pest." "Time for bed," said Mother. "You can finish your map of Florida in the morning." "Africa," said Arthur. The next day, Mr. Ratburn announced a spelling test for Friday. "I want you to study very hard," he said. "The test will have 100 words. Buster looked pale. "And," continued Mr. Ratburn, "the 2 students with the highest scores will represent our class at the all-school spellathon." That week, everyone in Arthur's class studied harder than ever. Arthur spent a lot of time looking for quiet places to study. He even got up in his treehouse to be alone. Suddenly, it was Friday and time for the test. Arthur could smell Miss Sweetwater's class making popcorn. He could hear Mrs. Fink's class leaving for a trip to the aquarium. "Why do we have to get stuck with the rat?" he whispered to Francine. Mr. Ratburn corrected their papers during lunch. "Class," he said, "most of you did very well on the test, but only 2 of you spelled every word correctly." Muffy smiled. Francine hiccuped. Buster patted his good luck charm. Mr. Ratburn cleared his throat. "Our class representatives for the spellathon will be the brain and Arthur. There must be some mistake, said Muffy. Mr. Ratbird gave Arthur and the brain each a special list of words. Just study these, and you'll be ready for the spellathon in 2 weeks, he said. Arthur's family helped him study. Grandma asked Arthur his spelling words. How about your C-H-O-R-E-S, chores, Father asked. Have you made your B-E-D, bed, Mother added. D-W helped, too. When Francine and Buster came over, D.W. answered the door. Arthur can't play, but I can, she said. I don't have to study. I can't believe the spellathon is finally here, said Grandma. Maybe now we'll get a little peace and quiet, D.W. said. Good luck, Arthur, said Mother and Father. From backstage, Arthur could hear the whole school out in the auditorium. Well, today's the big day, said Mr. Ratburn. How do you feel? I feel fine, the brain answered. Arthur gulped. I wish I were still back in bed. The principal welcomed everyone and explained the rules. The brain had the first turn. He stepped up to the microphone. The first word is fear, said the principal. F-E-R-E, said the brain, a little too quickly. I'm sorry, said the principal. That's not correct. Are you sure? Asked the brain. What dictionary are you using? The brain wasn't the only one to drop out quickly. The representatives from Miss Sweetwater's and Mrs. Fink's class were gone in a flash. Before long, only Arthur and Prunella were left. It was Prunella's turn. The word is preparation, said the principal. Prunella looked down at her feet. Could I have the definition, please? She asked after a moment. Preparation, the principal repeated. The process of getting ready. Of course, said Prunella. P-R-E-P. She paused. E-R-A-T-I-O-N. I'm sorry, that's incorrect, said the principal. Now Arthur gets a chance to spell it. Arthur looked out over the audience and took a deep breath. Preparation, he said. P-R-E-P. A-R-A-T-I-O-N. Correct, said the principal. Everyone in Mr. Ratburn's class cheered. Then Mr. Ratburn went to the microphone. I'm very proud of Arthur, he said. In fact, I'm proud of my whole class. They worked very hard. This is the last third grade I'll have in the spellathon, but next year I look forward to a new challenge, teaching kindergarten. The end. I'm Gonna Like Me by Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm gonna like me when I jump out of bed, from my giant big toe to the braids on my head. I'm going to like me when I grin and I see the space in my mouth where two teeth used to be. I'm going to like me wearing flowers and plaid. I have my own style. I don't follow some fad. I'm gonna like me when I climb on and wave as the bus pulls away and I'm feeling so brave. I'm gonna like me when I'm called on to stand. I know all my letters like the back of my hand. I'm gonna like me when my answer is wrong, like thinking my ruler was 10 inches long. I'm gonna like me when I'm sharing my lunch, 'cause just like bananas, friends come in a bunch. I'm gonna like me when I jump up so high. I'll twist and I'll stretch straight up to the sky. I'm gonna like me when I fall and get hurt and mess up my elbows in pebbles and dirt. I'm gonna like me when I don't run so fast. Then they pick teams and I'm chosen last. I'm gonna like me when I do the right thing and return what I found, even when it's a ring. I'm gonna like me when I'm feeling strong. I'll walk with a smile, arms swinging, legs long. I'm gonna like me when I sit with my mom and make a get well card for my sick friend Tom. I'm going to like me when I eat something new, even if Grandma makes octopus stew. I'm gonna like me when I make a mistake and put out the candles on Dad's birthday cake. I'm gonna like me when I open the box and smile and say thanks, even though I got socks. I'm gonna like me when I try a new task. I bring in a plate before I am asked. I'm gonna like me when I clean in a flash and play with my brother and take out the trash. I'm gonna like me when I cuddle up tight and know as I'm sleeping, I'm safe and all right. I'm gonna like me 'cause I'm loved and I know it. And liking myself is the best way to show it. I'm gonna like me, I already do. But enough about me, how about you? I Love Cake by Tammy Sauer. In the middle of Sweet Valley Woods lived Rabbit, Porcupine, and Moose. I am Rabbit, said Rabbit. I am Porcupine, said Porcupine. I am Frog. Just kidding, said Moose. I am Moose. They were best friends. I'm good at being the boss, said Rabbit. I'm good at having fun, said Porcupine. I'm just Moose, said Moose. And that's the way they liked it. And together, they all chimed in and said, that's the way we like it. One morning, Rabbit bounced out of bed extra early and said, hooray, it's my birthday. She got on the phone and invited Porcupine and Moose to her party. Be at my house in 1 hour, she said. Sounds fun, said Porcupine. Cake, said Moose. The three friends got ready. Rabbit grabbed her to-do list. I love throwing parties, she said. Porcupine struck a party pose and said, I love playing games. Moose squeezed into his favorite sweater and said, I love boiled turnips. Ha, I do not. I love cake. Porcupine and Moose tried to make it to the party on time, but Porcupine said, I can't find Rabbit's present anywhere. And Moose's horns got caught on the front door as he was trying to go out, and they went bonk, bonk. I can't get out the door, he said. Finally, they arrived at Rabbit's house. Happy birthday, said Moose. This is for you, said Porcupine, as he held out his present to Rabbit. Come on, let's get started, Rabbit said. First, the three friends jumped on the trampoline. Whee, said Rabbit. Guys, said Porcupine.
Snip, snip, is that what I think it is? Said Moose as he sniffed the air.
Next, they played pin the tail on the chipmunk. No peeking, said Rabbit as she put on the blindfold. This is fun, said Porcupine.
Said Moose as he followed the aroma of something good.
Then Rabbit and Porcupine heard a mysterious noise.
What was that? Said Rabbit.
Nom, nom, nom.
But Rabbit didn't give it much thought. She had an important announcement to make. It's time for cake. As she and Porcupine went into the kitchen, they found the cake platter was empty.
Hey, what happened to the cake?
Oh no, said Porcupine. And what happened to Moose?
Rabbit and Porcupine looked everywhere for the missing cake and the missing Moose.
At last, they made a big discovery.
Moose, there you are. Hey, are those cake crumbs on your fur?
As Moose looked down, he said,
Nope, I don't think so.
Rabbit and Porcupine gave Moose the look.
What? You think I ate the cake?
That hurts.
Maybe a badger ate the cake. Did you ever think of that? Said Moose.
And then all of a sudden, Moose went, Burp.
I smell cake, said Porcupine.
I smell a rat, said Rabbit. Rabbit and Porcupine only wanted one thing, and it was gone, and they began to cry. Sniffle, sniffle. All of that sniffling made Moose sniffly too.
Why do you have to look so sweet and adorable and...
I can't take it any longer. Maybe I had one bite of cake, but that is all. I only wanted to make sure it was okay.
That's fine, right?
Is it my fault? My mouth so big that the whole cake kind of fell right in?
I'm really sorry. Can we all still be friends? Pretty please?
I beg you. We can get matching sweaters. What do you say?
Rabbit got hopping mad.
You ruined my whole party, she said.
Porcupine got prickly. This is no fun, he said.
Moose got the message.
Back at home, Moose thought of ways to make it up to his friends. He could give them flowers, or he could read them poetry. Maybe a singing gorilla. But nothing seemed quite right. Then Moose noticed something on his fur. It was a cake crumb. Aha, he said. He had an idea. He went right to work. Later that day, Moose returned to Rabbit's house. He knocked on the door and said, "Surprise!" He had a cake in his hands, and on top it was written, "Friends," and there were three little figurines. One was a porcupine, one a moose, and one a rabbit. Rabbit and porcupine tried to ignore Moose, but Moose was just so Moose. Rabbit loved the surprise. "I love cake," she said. Porcupine loved the surprise and said, "I love cake." Moose loved the surprise exactly as much as he loved cake. "I love cake, but I love sharing it with friends even more." And they all sat back and hugged one another with their bellies full of cake. The end. The end. Tom's Tree by Jillian Shields. Tom planted a seed in his backyard. "That won't grow," laughed his big brother Ned. "I think it will," said Tom. "It will grow into a tree with strong green branches and golden leaves and red fruit and peacocks singing." "Peacocks don't sing," said Ned. The next day, Tom looked where he had planted the seed. There was no tree growing. "Let's play soccer," said Ned. But Tom was thinking about his tree. "When my tree grows," he said, "we can build a tree house like a pirate ship and fly over the moon." "Trees can't fly," said Ned. Every day, Tom looked to see if his tree was growing, but the ground was bare and empty. "I told you so," said Ned. Tom was sad. "My tree would have been as tall as a giant, as wide as a rainbow, and as strong as a dragon." "Dragons don't exist," said Ned. So Tom stopped hoping. Then the winds came, and the rain came, and the snow, and the frost, until one day the sun shone again, and the spring had come back. "Look, Tom, look," said Ned. "It's your tree." And they both looked down at the ground, and there was a little tree sprout poking up. Tom smiled at Ned. Ned smiled at Tom. "Pirates, dragons, rainbows, giants." "But," said Tom, looking at his tree again, "it's very small." "Don't worry, it will soon grow," said Ned. So Tom looked after the tiny tree and watered it. He built a little fence around it so it wouldn't get damaged. He watched and waited as a new shoot grew and fresh green buds opened. At night, Tom looked out of his window into the darkness of the garden. Sometimes he thought he could hear the mast
of a tall ship creaking in the wind, and the faint, soft sound of peacocks singing under the starlight. But every morning, Tom's tree seemed as small as ever. "I wish you'd hurry up," said Tom to the tree. Spring followed spring, summer followed summer. At last, the tree grew, but Tom grew faster. The day came when Tom was all grown up. He didn't think about pirates and dragons anymore. He went away to have grown-up adventures instead. The young, slim tree sighed in the breeze. One day, a man walked through the garden gate, down the path, and stood in front of the tree. It was Tom. He was carrying his son on his shoulders. "Look, Edward," said Tom, "this is my tree." The tree was tall and wide, with strong green branches. Edward looked up. He laughed and clapped his hands. He could see the tall mast of a ship and juicy red fruit and little golden dragons hiding in the leaves. And high up in the branches, he could see glittering green peacocks. He could see Tom's tree. And the tree laughed in the rustling wind. The end. This is Cindy, and I'll be signing off for now. Thank you for listening to the stories I've read. I hope you've had as much fun listening as I did reading. Until next time, thank you again.
Thank you so much for coming and reading with us today. We had a good time with you. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.